This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
As you did about 10 years ago, praise God. You're still sounding young.
I may not look the same, but as long as the voice holds out. Hey, that's a secret. That's why I don't do YouTube video. I'm ageless as long as just internet podcasting, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, same here. I've lost quite a bit of weight, actually. It's been really good. I've gone on a carnivore diet, though.
Yeah, oh, man. Amazing. That diet is great, bro.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I can't believe it. I lost like 7 kilos in like 5 or 6 weeks. 5 or 6 weeks, yeah.
That stuff really works. I've been doing that and then got off of it. I'm going to get back on it because that's the one thing, man, you can actually see some real difference. Plus, you have more energy. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. No, Linda, who helps me with the ministry, she put me onto it, eh? And it's incredible, yeah.
By the way,
I can't believe it. I look at photos of myself a few months ago, and I go, "Oh my goodness!" I had a bit of a belly, happening, and it was like it's all gone now.
Hey, man, that's exciting. Okay, we're live now. Hey, do you got any good news for me yet? Have you gotten hitched yet?
No, not yet. No, yeah, but Linda and I will be getting married. We just got to find a good pastor to marry us. So, I've been praying about it, but she's. Yeah, we're both ready.
All
yeah,
right,
so,
man.
She's amazing. So what? She'll be sitting in on the teaching. She'll be helping me. So the Lord's brought Linda into my life to. It was prophesied actually, and the Lord was going to bring me a helpmeet, and that she was going to help me with the ministry, and she was going to fit like a glove. Praise God!
Praise the Lord, man. Rejoice with you. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Helpmeet. In deliverance ministry, so needed. We're live. We're excited to be here today with Evangelist Peter Johnson. Peter, where are you at? Are you in Gold Coast, Australia?
Yeah, Gold Coast. Still on the Gold Coast.
Great place to be. With that, we'll get started. Peter, you want to open us in prayer?
For sure. Okay, hang on. Oh, yes, Lord. Well, we just thank you right now for this awesome moment, Lord, to engage in some word, Lord, some teaching here, edification, Lord, for the building up of the saints, Lord, which is all part of the work of the ministry. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for the anointing, Lord, because I know, Lord, Father, we can do nothing without you, Lord, and I certainly don't want to do anything without you, Lord, because I know, Father God, it would be futile. So, Father, right now, I thank you for this opportunity,
Lord, to spread the word. And Father, we just take authority in Jesus' name over the power of the prince of the air. Lord, we bind, Father God, every attack, any assignment against any of the hearers, Shannon, myself, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to cut off all the witchcraft, Lord, that the enemy would try to send in Jesus' name. And Father, we forbid any transfer of ungodly spirits from one to another. And Lord, we bind all astral projection, Lord, and anything that the enemy would try to sabotage, Lord, this ministry with in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, Father, that we can decrease that you may increase, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, what the word is, as Lord, you unpack the word for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you right now. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty, precious name. Amen.
I say amen to that. Peter, we got the next hour together, so use it any way you want. The mic is yours, my friend.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Thanks, Shannon.
Okay, and welcome back. It's great to be back with you. Hope you.
Yeah. Likewise, Shannon. No, it's a blessing, mate. Lots of good memories, mate.
And we're gonna make some more. Amen.
Yeah, definitely. No, the season is right. You know, it's one thing. You know, the Lord has you know, because of situations in each and every one of our lives, there are seasons. You know, but the Lord, praise God, has already gone before us and prepared the way. And I know in my life, the season now is really ripe. But we can, you know, the harvest is white, the fields are white, and Father God, the laborers are few. But praise God, I know the Lord's building an army. He's building a Gideon's army. You know, that's what He showed me when we were ministering down in Southport in the hall down there, Deliverance. I asked the Lord what He wanted to do, you know, and He said that He was building a Gideon's army, you know, a remnant, you know, those that were prepared to go into battle, you know, for Him, you know, to take back what the enemy had stolen, and to teach and edify and build up the saints for the work of, you know, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what we all want to hear, you know, because, you know, as we know, you know, we have to love the truth, but the truth is very sort of like mixed in this day and age, convoluted, if I could say that, and we've got to get back to the Word of God. I know, and you hear that a lot, but really, it is the truth. It's the love of the truth that sets us free, and that's one thing I've come to realize. It's loving the truth. So the title of tonight's message is Deliverance is the Children's Bread. I did part one quite a while ago last year, and a little bit of time has elapsed since then. So I'll just jump in and go through just a quick recap of what we covered in the last teaching, because I mean it's just amazing, you know, we can get so much of the word, you know, sometimes it's hard to digest it all, you know. It is a feast, you know. I've always described it like sitting at the Lord's table. We're having a banquet, you know, and the Lord's at the head of the table. We're His body, and he's prepared a feast for us, and that feast is the bread. It's the Word of God, and deliverance is part of that feast. You know, deliverance is salvation, and as we'll see tonight, there's many facets to the word salvation. In fact, there's a lot of different words that salvation incorporates. And for us not to partake in the whole counsel of God, you know, it's sad. And I think, and I know from my experience in deliverance, I've been doing deliverance about 38 years now, and I know deliverance has become very popular now, you know, which is great. It's a good thing. And I think that's very much attributed to the internet. You know, knowledge is increasing. Praise God. We just pray that understanding and wisdom increases, because, you know, the enemy is always trying to corrupt the word of God, leaven the word of God, as I'd like to say. So we don't want to receive the leavened word. We want the unleavened word, which is Jesus. So I'm going to start here. All right. So the scripture surrounding deliverance is the children's bread is Matthew 15, verse 21. And I'll just start there because I'll just recap. It's very important that we understand this scripture. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And that word actually means, the demon-possessed means grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." You know, they were obviously, you know, not interested because she was a Gentile origin. But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Okay, so here we can see Jesus was saying that he was sent to his covenant believing children. He came after the lost children of Israel because Israel was in a state of apostasy through what the Bible calls leaven, which is falsity, hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and opposite to the truth, this is where correct leadership is so important today. You know, a lot of apostasy comes into the church. I mean, it's through the leadership. You know, teachers have to be, teachers are accountable, you know, and they come under a strict, the Bible says they come under a stricter judgment. So, you know, it's something which we can't take lightly. We have to really humble ourselves as teachers and love the truth and really make sure that our motive, what our motive is for preaching and teaching the word, our motive has to be Jesus, all Jesus. That's why deliverance is so important, you know, because deliverance does is it strips away a lot of pride and egotism and self-ambition, you know, particularly self-ambition. That's a big one I can see with a lot of ministers of the gospel, and that's something we've got to really deal with and repent for, because a lot of ministries, I've found ministers can get into what I call showmanship, and that's a trap. Showmanship is something which is against the word, because the ministry is a body ministry, and that's what the church is. The church is a body, and it's made up of many members. So we've just got to make sure that we're functioning as a body, you know. And this is where the church as such, I've seen, has turned away from that body ministry a lot and has become a theatre. And it's sad, you know, because the whole purpose of the church is for the edification and the building up of the saints. And how much more are the saints going to be built up by actually participation, you know, instead of having one or two people up the front. Participating, the whole body needs to participate, as we can see in the book of Corinthians, you know, with the exercising of the gifts of the Spirit. So, yeah, so what we need to hold fast to is the unleavened word of God, you know. And really to do that, we've got to be good Bereans. We've got to look at the word. I mean, even just preparing this message, it's just incredible how much you glean from the word. It's just studying the word is so important. Getting revelation about the word, deeper understanding. It's just incredible. Even doing this teaching, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. I just went to the stage where, oh no, I just got to stop because time just runs out on you. So 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, Jesus is the unleavened word of sincerity and truth. Okay? So that's very relevant because Matthew 5:25, she came and worshipped him saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay, so this Canaanite woman, all right, she was obviously not part of the covenant-believing children of Israel, but she had faith. And the Jews looked at Gentiles as unclean, scavenging dogs, you know, which is a little bit unkind, but anyway, Jesus, it says in verse 27, and she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, that word healed is the word yame. It's actually, I remember doing the teaching last time, I forgot how to pronounce that. It's certainly not pronounced the way it looks, but it's spelled I-A-O-M-A-I. And anyway, yeah, so she was healed from that very hour. So here we have a situation where the word healing is actually the word healed is used, but it's actually that the word was appropriated to casting out of demons, all right? So this is how Christians, you know, in the secular world can get very deceived by in the English language, because the English language doesn't really do it justice. The Greek is a lot more expressive, and that's why I really suggest and recommend that people, you know, have a look at the Strong's, you know, the Blue Letter Bible or whatever one you prefer to get a deeper understanding of these words, because this is why the body of Christ has got into so much error, particularly concerning the ministry of deliverance. So, and that's sad. It's very much. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We'll cover those. We'll have a look at those reasons from the Word of God. You know, the devil hates deliverance, obviously. So, while I was looking at that last night, the Lord gave me a little bit of a revelation there concerning this. It says, note, each one of those crumbs that fell from the table that she was describing is the full package of salvation. You know, this is amazing about God's word. We can't fully understand the whole package of salvation. It's just incredible what it encompasses. There's so many different words for salvation that we'll go through, and this word iame is one of them, and it's used because iame, healing, is part of salvation. It's part of that package, and it's that, you know, one of those crumbs that fell from the table. She had faith in that tiny little crumb, you know, that tiny little piece of faith, and she believed, and her faith, Jesus accredited it to her that her daughter was instantly healed. Well, from that very hour, many Christians try to separate healing from deliverance, and you can clearly see here that healing and deliverance are one and the same thing. Even denying deliverance altogether. I mean, this is just straight out ignorance. From people not going in and doing their own homework, and believing in the traditions of men. And this is a big problem with all of us. We've all got to be careful of that. We've all fallen into error, every one of us, through false teachings, because we've been lazy, really, and we haven't been good Bereans, as the Bible describes. It is clearly, so according to Scripture, deliverance is very much a part of, this is the casting out of demons, is very much a part of Scripture and salvation today. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Verse 28 clearly describes the uses of the word healing to include her being delivered from demons, or a demon or demons, plural. This is a part of our complete salvation. Now, the word salvation, as most of you know, is the word sozo. And who is our salvation? You know, obviously, Jesus Christ is our salvation, and he's the bread of life. So, you know, we see in the Lord brought it to my mind here, feeding the 5,000. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life.'" You know, have you really partaken in the true bread of life? You know, are you really extracting from that bread all of its blessings? And that's something we've really got to look at ourselves. Faith, and you know, the Lord brought this to my mind as well, just straight away by the Spirit. He said, faith the size of a mustard seed, and we can see that in Matthew 17, where the epileptic boy was healed, and in Matthew 17, verse 14, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I put up with you? And how long will I bear you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon." Notice that he didn't send him off to the psychologists to I'm not saying counseling is totally wrong. There is a lot of good counseling, and as long as it's led by the Spirit. But even then, I think there's a quicker way. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured. Now, that word cured is therapuo, which is another part of salvation. And this is deliverance. So, from that very hour, you know, it's funny. The word of therapuo means, and that's spelled therapeu, that means to heal, cure, restore to health. okay? So you can see that the way, you know, Christians today, a lot of Christianity, particularly more conservative Christianity, and cessationists, which don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, they don't believe in this stuff. They only believe in what they want. They sort of cherry pick, I believe personally, they cherry pick the word, and it's pretty obvious they do. And there's absolutely no scriptural evidence for cessationists to believe in what they believe. You know, I've seen enough apologetics on that whole area to, you know, fully see there really are clutching at straws. You know, so the interesting thing is, you know, Christians today want to heal, but they don't want to cast out demons. And it's a shame because they really are missing out on a large part of what Jesus did for us by dying for us and taking the curse for us that we could have the blessing. So then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Okay. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. You've got to have eyes to see because of your unbelief. Now, your unbelief is, Christians, a lot of Christians today don't believe that, you know, Christians can have demons. And, a lot of Christians will say, where does in the Bible, in the New Testament, does it show? Well, I can show you where Christians can have demons, but where does it not say? You know, you've got to throw it back at them. Where you show me in the Bible where it says that born again Christians today can't have a demon. You show me it because it's just not there. All they can do is speculate. And, speculation is not good enough. What we need is hard evidence. And hard evidence is backed up in the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And obviously, a lot of these people haven't been around that, you know. There's a lot of reason, but we'll come to that. But anyway, he says, because of your unbelief, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Okay, so can you see the way the Lord showed me that parallel between the crumbs falling from the table, you know, those small crumbs. You know, the crumbs are the seed, the word of God, you know, which is Jesus, those small crumbs falling. You know, she just grasped, you know, one tiny little piece of that bread, and that one little piece had the whole package of salvation concerning her daughter being set free. All right. So you will see. Okay. So I'll back up here. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, this mountain move, and here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by. Now, the word in the King James, most translations actually says through prayer and fasting, but it's interesting, the word and fasting is not actually in the original text. I probably would say because fasting is great, don't get me wrong, fasting is great, but prayer, you know, the thing that delivers demons is faith. You know, it's purely by faith. And fasting can become a works thing, all right, our works, but ultimately what it does do is it increases our faith. So we just got to get it right when we look at fasting. The purpose of fasting, I often say to people when they're going to fast, you know, what's your motive for fasting, you know? Is your motive to have a deeper relationship with Jesus, that you may decrease, that he may increase? You know, this has got to be our motive. But the end result is what is important here, that through prayer, through faith, deliverance comes. Amen. So that's interesting. You know, deliverance is the children's bread. We can see that Jesus is the bread of life. And the bread of life is is the full package. Jesus is the full package. As I said before, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Jesus doesn't change. You can't separate. You can't dissect salvation and go, oh, I'm only going to believe this. No, you just, you know, you really are leavening yourself. And, you know, the Bible says, what does a little leaven do? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, it's dangerous. Leaven, you know, when we get into areas of apostasy, false doctrine, it spreads like leaven. Leaven is like yeast in dough, you know. It permeates through the whole lump and corrupts the whole lump. So, yeah. Okay. Another example here is in Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. Oh, yeah, this is the previous scripture, noting that Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was, healed, delivered. So just looking at the Strongs, John Strongs for the word Iame, which is delivered from these demons, it means to cure, heal, to make whole, to free from errors and sins, to bring about one's salvation. So the word salvation, we can see, was sozo, which we will look. Hang on a minute, I'll just go to this. And the word sozo, it means, you see, all these words intertwine. Iame, sozo. Sozo is a part of, Iame is a part of sozo, which is to heal, okay, to make whole, and to save. So what we'll do is we'll come back to Matthew 15:28. And to bring about one's salvation, you know. So the Canaanite's daughter was healed, made whole, delivered from demons. So we can see that it is unscriptural to separate deliverance and healing. We can conclude that separating the two is a false doctrine held by many Christians. And there's a reason for Christians doing this. I mean, obviously it's the devil, Satan, you know. I mean, most Christians would be horrified. I mean, I've been, you know, in my ministry, it's incredible, and I know why they don't. It's because they've been bewitched. You know, in Galatians, Paul talks about, you know, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You know, witchcraft is such a strong influence of people who don't recognize spiritual warfare. And that's something I can just quickly talk about. And I can give people advice about witchcraft. Witchcraft is not some witch sitting over a cauldron casting spells necessarily. I mean, that does happen. But the witchcraft that I'm talking about is the witchcraft that comes from the power of the prince of the air. Okay, it's sent. You see, the enemy knows each and every one of us that know the truth and that are a threat to his kingdom. They are observing us. They're like watcher demons. Literally, they take notes. They know our whole history. They know our past. They know our ancestors. They know our weaknesses. So what they do is they send an assignment against us, and the assignment can be distraction, okay, frustration, anxiety. You know, quite often we'll get anxiety, anxious about things. And I ask the Lord all the time, if I start getting anything like that, I just ask the Lord, am I being hit by witchcraft? And, yeah, most of the time I am. So I just take authority over it. And I'm telling you, you start to be more aware of this and your whole Christian life will change dramatically. Eh? It's incredible. And the peace of God will come on you that passes all understanding. It's amazing. Even this morning, you know, before I come on the show, the enemy sent a little entourage to try and, unhinge me from the anointing, from the Spirit of God. Because, you know, the enemy know who are being called. They're not worried. The enemy have personally told me they're not worried of most Christians. They're not worried. And you know that. I mean, everybody sitting here listening to this would know. But a lot of Christians are completely oblivious to spiritual warfare, spiritual things. It can go off the rails, obviously. You get the hypo-charismatics that really do see things that aren't there, and that's why I think it's really important to be firmly grounded because, yeah, demons are literally, I know personally that they're more prevalent than most people would imagine, okay? They are literally behind every bush and under every rock, as the critics would like to point out, that as a criticism. It is that bad. And they are behind stopping most Christians from fully operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Because one of the objectives of this witchcraft, which comes out of this, you know, obviously from the spirit realm, from the second heaven, is to deter us and stop us from operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And this is something which, you know, in the ministry I really take authority over and teach people to recognize, because it really can put a wedge between you and your relationship with God. And it can deprive you of so much blessing, you know, because, you know, the kingdom of God is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And one of the things to discern is, are you losing your peace? Are you losing your joy? Are you distracted? Are you frustrated? Do you have fear? All of these things. I'm telling you, just take authority over it, and it's amazing. You just I don't have to give you a prayer. You've got enough knowledge just to take authority over it, bind it in the name of Jesus, cancel it in Jesus' name, and ask for that protection. Whether, you know, even just praying one of the Psalms is good, you know, Psalm 91, for instance. You don't have to make long-winded prayers. It's just quick and simple, and every time I pray, bang, it's gone. So yeah, just a little bit of encouragement there to do with that. Okay, so all right. Just back to this teaching here. So the word iame, which is part of sozo, is to bring about deliverance and salvation. So the Canaanite's daughter was healed, made whole, delivered from a demon, demons, and as we saw, totally unscriptural or Christians to separate healing from deliverance. I'll tell you another little one. You know, you might say, oh, people might say, oh, you know, that's old, you know, that was before the cross. Well, we know these Christians love to quote, you know, by his stripes you are healed. Well, by his stripes you are healed. The word healed there is iame, which is exactly the same word for deliverance. So by his stripes, you are delivered from demons. You know, Christians love to cherry pick the word and, you know, just suit what they want the word to say. And it's sad, you know, because it's just gross error. Okay, so it is clear from Jesus' own words that deliverance, even before the cross, is for his covenant-believing children and also includes Gentiles without covenant if they come in faith. So we can see that, you know, and this is where religion can really, you know, religious spirits can really get in the way, and that's a whole another topic, which I can give. I'll give some more teaching on that on a later episode, religious spirits. I come across them all the time. It's only because a lot of Christians don't have a good understanding of or a good foundation of the message of the cross. And that can get you into all sorts of issues, especially with legalism. All right, so... But what we do see is persistence gets results. And that was the story with the Canaanite woman. She had persistence, you know. This is an old analogy, allegory that says the desperate get delivered. And that's very true, you know. We have to be desperate and really have to press in, okay. So we can see that there's two instances where Jesus admonishes people for their great faith that were not covenant believing people. You know, covenant people. Well, they were covenant believing, but not covenant people. They weren't Israelites, all right. And the other one was Jesus heals this centurion's servant, which is Luke 7, and that's interesting because both these cases were where Jesus healed people at a distance, okay? And isn't it amazing, you know, the power of prayer, our authority is incredible. I mean, one thing that really I learned was through deliverance when the internet really became widely used. So with the advent of Skype, for instance, we were casting demons out when Skype first started on the other side of the world. You know, it was incredible, you know, to really think that we could team up, like three of us, one for example, myself in here in Australia, and another person, say, in America, say in Florida, and another person up in, I remember the first time it was in Arizona, and we were praying for a man in Ireland, you know, and fantastic, great deliverance. But the fact that there were these three points all around the world where we were destroying Satan's kingdom, you know, I mean, it was mind-blowing. It just can't get your head around it. It proves that there's no time and distance in the spirit in Jesus Christ, you know. There's nothing stopping us from praying for anybody. You know, prayer is very powerful. And when we see it, you know, firsthand, the result as we pray over Skype, for instance, and Zoom, etc., we can see the instant results. And this is what the attitude we have to have too when we pray for people, you know. We believe because the results are instant, you know. God does as long as they are prayed according to his will, because we have to pray things according to his will. Otherwise, it can become charismatic witchcraft, which is another area which we've done a lot of deliverance on, where people have come into that. And basically, it really is operating out of the Spirit of God. We're not being led by the Spirit. We're actually praying our own will be done, not his will be done. So it's something to bear in mind. But, you know, as a security, I always say, if you're unsure, I say, Lord, let your will be done, not mine, and if it be your will. You know, so just as security there, I just would advise. All right, so that with the centurion servant, it says here, now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders to the Jews, of the Jews, to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, he begged him earnestly, saying that one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Okay, so that word healed is again iame, which we saw was previous with the Canaanite woman. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, so he's obviously talking to the Jews here, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Deliverance is not restricted to distance. So don't, just because somebody's on the other side of the world, don't think that you can't reach them, all right? It's very important for us. You know, the incredible thing, too, about this whole thing is, you know, authority. You know, this centurion realized authority, and he realized that Jesus is authority. And that's something we've got to realize, that Jesus has all power and all authority, obviously, now, but he's given that to us, as we know. But, you know, use it. Don't let people who don't believe, or critics, distract you, all right? Discourage you in any way, shape, or form, all right? So two instances there where, you know, people were not part of the covenant. Now, you look at today, I mean, you know, as Christians, we are in an even better place now, where we have a much better, you know, we've got a better covenant. We've got a perfect covenant. And this perfect covenant, you know, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So how much more, and how much, I mean, Jesus is our example, obviously. He's the one who we need to follow. You know, Jesus said to follow him. So who are we following? And this is something I've always questioned Christians about. You know, who are you following? Are you following the real Jesus, or are you following another Jesus, all right, an imposter? And so, you know, are we following the traditions of men, or are we following the real Jesus? So let's have a look at the real Jesus here, see what he did, and imitate him. It's that simple. Just got to be like children, you know. I mean, well, how do children grow up? They grow up by imitating those that teach them, and this is what we need to do. I mean, this is the simplicity. You know, do not get away from the simplicity that's in Christ. The gospel is so simple, most people miss it. They want to, you know, they get into all these works because they think that they've got to add to what Jesus has already done on the cross. And it's a big trap, and that's something I'm going to preach about another time, about how people can fall into all sorts of work, their own work-based religion, rather than Christ already accomplished, right, covenant that he has with us. He's done it, and it's got to be all him. It can't be us. He's got to lead and guide us in all things. But if we don't know who we're following, and we're following another, then obviously we're going to get into all sorts of error. And this is the whole message, this whole teaching is, all right, well, have a look. You know, look at what Jesus has done, what Jesus is still doing. He doesn't change. And, you know, examine ourselves, please. Because, you know, when you look at it, you know, you can understand how the devil will try to snare Christians by getting them to operate in unbelief and follow another Jesus, which Paul was, you know, very angry about, as we read in Galatians and Corinthians. All right, so so Matthew 6, 9 to 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. All right, now, give us this day our daily bread. Hello. That's deliverance, folks. All right, it's healing, deliverance. It encompasses the whole spectrum of salvation. You know, our deliverer is Jesus, all right? He is the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. I mean, this, why would people try to change what Jesus has done for us? Why would they restrict? Why would people restrict us from following the Jesus that we read about? I mean, ask yourself. I mean, obviously, demons have got in there and they're, you know, distracted and bewitched people. This is witchcraft, as I mentioned earlier. Bewitched, all right? And that's mind control. You know, it's a whole area of mind control spirits, religious spirits coming in. And leavening the body of Christ and making it of no effect, okay? Right, so it says, so the Lord's Prayer is deliverance, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that word deliver is Strong's G4506, which means ruahi. It's spelled R-H-Y-O-M-A-I. And it means to draw to oneself, to rescue, to deliver, the deliverer. All right, so who's the deliverer again? Oh, that's right, Jesus Christ. All right. For thine is the kingdom, the power. Now, the word power there is dunamis. All right, well, we all know about dunamis, that's blasting power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So there we go, even with the Lord's Prayer. And how many Christians today pray the Lord's Prayer? Even cessationists, they pray the Lord's Prayer, but isn't it incredible the way they, you know, basically unhinge themselves from the power of God because of unbelief? It's just pure and simple. You have not because you believe not, and it's as simple as that. You know, if you have faith, then, okay, as that, remember that crumb that fell, all right, from the Lord's table, that the Canaanite woman, you know, she saw that crumb. She saw that tiny little speck, and she grasped that speck, and that little speck encompassed the whole of salvation, you know, for her daughter who was demon-possessed. And that's faith. That is faith. And that's what we need. That little faith is a mustard seed, because, you know, that faith is that seed, and that seed is the Word of God. It's the whole Word of God. But, you know, if we're going to separate the Word of God and cut it up into pieces and dissect it and cherry pick it, you know, we're not going to be effective at all, honestly. We've got to receive the whole Word, the whole counsel, and repent, really, for not doing that, because then the Lord can open our eyes so we can see. Because, you know, one of the things that the enemy do is blind us. They blind us to the truth, okay? They blind us. That's what religious spirits do. They put scales on your eyes and blind you, and then they even stop you from hearing. I preach all the time on Zoom, and I get people where you get a really anointed message, and people fall asleep, or they you ask them, what was that? And they can't remember. You know, it's literally the word of God has not gone in because, you know, the enemy, right, has blocked them, and that's what enemy do. They block. So what are we going to do about that situation? Well, we're going to have to cast them out. We have to get rid of them, all right? And this is where, you know, the word of God, salvation comes in, eh? The real salvation, the full package, okay? All right. Now let's look at another case here. Healing includes being delivered from demons. So a boy is healed. Okay. So Matthew 17:14, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. You know, really, that word cure is, you know, kick the demons out. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? I mean, how often do, you know, ministers in the Word today talk to the congregation like that? I mean, maybe they should. Maybe we should start being a little bit more harsh, you know, and rebuke, okay? So he said, how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And I mean, that would be faith, wouldn't it? Rebuking everybody because someone, you know, wasn't getting healed, and bring him to me. Boy, that would be really putting yourself on the line, wouldn't it? Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured. Oh, cured. Ah, cured. From that very hour. See how the English language doesn't quite, you know, describe what's going on here. And this is the issue with the English language. The meaning of cured in the Greek is the word therapou, okay? And it means to serve, to do service, to heal, cure, restore to health. And we can see here, restoring to health and curing was obviously casting out a demon. So casting a demon out of a person is scripturally is referred to as heal, cure, restore to health. Wow, isn't that amazing? Anyone see that? So we see again, it is unscriptural to separate deliverance and healing. We can conclude that trying to separate them and ignore deliverance is a what? Doctrine of demons. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Really? Doctrine of demons? Wow. But, you know, you can tell people this. I've had these people, you know, around me, and particularly in the house here when I'm doing deliverance sessions, and you know, they can sit there and watch people manifesting all over the room and still not believe. It's incredible. I mean, how blind can you be? How bewitched can you be? And, you know, most Christians would say, oh, I'm not bewitched, you know. Oh, really? Well, you know, maybe you should really look at the word, look at your life under the word of God instead of, instead of making Jesus into whom you want him to be, all right, instead of who he really is, okay, our deliverer. Okay, so this word, Iame, which is sort of spelled, it's spelled I-A-O-M-A-I, which is quite unusual pronunciation, Iame. To cure, heal, to make whole, as we see, the word is in the word it's used 30 times. It's I won't go through them all. I mean, I've got a whole list here of them. Won't go through them for the reason of time. But it goes right down from the four Gospels into Acts and Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. So I'm just going to drop down into Acts. And it says, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. So that word healed is iame. So like I say, this is, that was in Acts 3:11. You can't say, oh, well, that was healing, not deliverance. Well, really? Then I question where you're getting your revelations from. If you've got in your mind that Christians can't have demons, then seriously, you have not been around true covenant-believing Christians exercising the whole package of salvation, all right? You just haven't. You've been deceived by traditions of men. And a lot of it is fear, and I'll come to that, because it's fear that stops people from participating, all right? Get very anointed saying that, all right? That spirit of fear is what's behind this, all right? Acts 9:34, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Iame, arise and make your bed. Acts 10:38, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Oh, iame, healing them, delivering them. Wow. Acts 28:8, and laid his hands on him and iame'd him, healed him. It says healed him. Oh, you know. Acts 28:27, and their heart with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Oh, iame them, deliver them, cast demons out of them. The whole package, sozo, everything, all right? Hebrews 12:13, be turned out of the way and let it rather be healed, iame. James 5:16, pray. I'll just cut these scriptures right down so you can see. You want to take notes, you can take them and check them out later. James 5:16, pray for one another that ye may be, what? Healed? Oh, my goodness. And not delivered? Yes, delivered as well. Cast out demons, because that word there is iame. Remember that word from the Canaanite woman? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Okay. So I'll read it again. Pray for one another that ye may, this is New Testament, pray for one another that ye may be delivered, right? Let's say it as it means, made whole, okay? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, all right? Now, 1 Peter 2:24, unto righteousness by whose stripes you were iame, healed. Wow. How many Christians have overlooked that one? You know, because I hear them quote that all the time, these cessationists, or maybe not the cessationists, maybe they don't like that scripture. I don't know if I've heard them quote that one. No, they like healing. No, the cessationists do. They've cherry-picked that one. They like that one because that one, you know, they don't have to fear, you know, because, you know, deliverance can... Oh, fear, because, you know, we can see that later on. We'll see that how people feared, you know, when the demons were cast out of the demoniac. Remember, they feared. Oh, they all ran away. That's why people don't get into deliverance, because, you know, it's very important for people to hold their dignity. You know, you got to have dignity in church. I mean, goodness sake, you can't cast demons out. I mean, that would be terrible. You might upset someone. Sorry, just being a bit sarcastic. So just repent, Lord, for a little bit of sarcasm there. But honestly, it's ridiculous. It really is. I'm sick of it, eh? In fact, I don't have much time for them, really, to be honest with you, because I know, you know, you can't spend too much time with them because really, they need to repent, because it is pride. It's a pride issue. And God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So, and, you know, the word, the situation with pride is, you know, the Bible tells us we need to humble ourselves. You know, that's something we have to do. So, you know, people are not willing to repent and humble themselves, and, you know, there's not a lot of point wasting too much time. Like I say, the Holy Spirit will show you. I mean, I know personally, I've got a gift where I can tell straight away. I can ask the Lord straight away, and he'll show me straight away. Am I wasting my time? Because I prayed that a long time ago when I first became a Christian and I was doing deliverance on street kids. I found the enemy was sending a lot of people to me to waste my time. All right, a lot of time wasters out there, folks, and that's where you've got to be careful, you know. The enemy wants to wear you down. The enemy will try to wear you down, all right, but, you know, praise God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show us if we are, in fact, wasting our time. You know, if you pray, you know, and ask the Lord to give you that discernment, because it is discernment. James 5:16. It says, we went over James. Pray for one another that ye may be healed, the effectual prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Iame incorporates all the finished work of the cross, not just physical healing. This is speaking to born again, baptized believers, all right? And that means to cure, heal, make whole, to free from errors and sins, to bring about one's salvation. Okay, so very powerful. Okay, so from all of that, we can see how this word iame is inclusive of sozo. And sozo is the word most of us know as salvation. All right, and that's the Strong's G4982. And that means, sozo means to save, to make whole, heal, be whole. Isn't that sort of like describe iame? You know, just same things, just in different words, okay? Obviously, iame is, you know, when it mentions healing, it's kinder. You know, a lot of Christians go, oh, yeah, I like that, healing. Well, casting out demons, no, I don't like that. You know, the devil obviously going to try to mind control you and shift you away from that. But when you understand the truth of these words, you can't get around it, okay? You need to just, you know, believe the word and do what the word got and follow the right Jesus, you know. Follow the real Jesus, not the because there are many false Jesuses. We cast out another Jesus all the time. And that other Jesus, it really is all synced in with Ahab, you know, Jezebel, Ahab and Jezebel. That's what you'll get. You go into churches that are led by Jezebel and Ahab, you're going to get another Jesus, all right? unfortunately. Now, Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the words spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Wow. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Wow. So that means that God proves himself. Verse 4, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And that's important, isn't it? His own will. His will be done. You know, I mentioned earlier about charismatic witchcraft. You've got to be careful with that. You start praying prayers that are your will be done, you're out of line. You know, you see that all the time with Christians that, you know, they're full of good works, but they're not the Lord's works. They're their own works. And, you know, a classic example of that testimony is Howard Pittman. If you ever heard his testimony, I mean, he was a Baptist preacher who had, you know, amazing works, you know, but not the Lord's works. You know, it was all done out of religion. And this is why it's so important to be led by the Spirit, okay? And, you know, that's what the devil's sneakily done. Doctrines of demons, remember? All right, what he'll do, okay, is he will, all right, separate you, okay, from the exousia, okay, the power of God, the dunamis, all right, the Zoe life. The Zoe life is that anointed, God-given, all right, led by the Spirit, life of God. I get very anointed saying that. You can hear it in my voice because that is the Holy Spirit, all right, talking to you, okay, be led by his Spirit, okay, not by religion, the traditions of men, eh? Traditions of men make the word of God of no effect, okay? And you will get, yeah, you don't want to stand before the Lord and you know, he say to you, you know, depart from me, I never knew you, right? We don't want to, you know, that would be terrible. Well, that was basically what happened to Howard Pittman. In his testimony, you can listen to that. I thoroughly recommend, if you haven't heard that testimony, go and listen to it. Howard Pittman. Okay, there's one there called Placebo, but there's one which he gives, his personal testimony himself. It's really good. Listen to it, okay, because it gives you a great understanding of the spiritual realm and the battle that we're in, okay, because we're in a war, okay? Jesus did not come to bring peace but a sword and to destroy the works of the devil, all right? Okay, so we're in a battle, folks, all right? So don't get deceived, all right, by another Jesus. That other Jesus, all right, is all aligned with Jezebel and Ahab and the Queen of Heaven, okay, and a whole range of other demons, namely, you know, Leviathan, because, you know, religious pride comes in there. You know, religious pride of your denomination, which is division, demon nation, I call them, demon nations. You know, denomination is division. Okay, it is. It's a work of the flesh. Okay. Okay, so, all right, so how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Wow. Maybe we should really. Yeah, well, we'll have a look. I've got this teaching on salvation. We're coming to it now. Okay, so only one gospel. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from from him. Who's him? Oh, that's Jesus. That's right. From him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, okay, which is not another, but there is some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Wow. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, that word accursed is an anathema, which means cursed to hell. You know, and that's something which we'll talk about. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel other than what you have received, let him be an anathema. Okay, so the Jesus we want to follow, okay, which we are all imitating, amen, because he's our example, all right, he said to the Pharisees, okay, basically rebuke them, call them a brood of vipers. They not only stop new believers, which in the Bible are called proselytes, stop them from entering the kingdom of heaven, but they turn them into twice the son of hell. I mean, imagine going to church and thinking you've got salvation and the truth and Jesus and everything, and then finding out when in the judgment that you're twice the son of hell. I mean, that would be terrible. And that's basically what Howard Pittman happened to him. You know, he pleaded with God for another chance, give him another chance. And he's an awesome man of God. He got great testimony, you know. And I think he only passed away recently, didn't he? I'm not sure how long ago, but it wasn't that long ago. But, yeah, great man. What a change, you know. He recognized the importance of the full salvation, you know, the real bread, you know, the real bread, not the leavened bread, which is a corrupted bread, but the true unleavened bread of Christ, all right, which we saw, you know, which is 1 Corinthians 5:8. Jesus is the unleavened word of sincerity and truth. So do we have sincerity and truth? You know, we have to ask ourselves that. Okay. All right. Now, moving on. All right. Sorry, just...
And if you're just joining us, we're live with Peter Johnson from Gold Coast, Australia. Peter, what do you say we go another 10 minutes?
Yeah, good, mate. I was ready to go another 10 hours, but yeah, right. 10 minutes.
We'll call this part two.
Sorry, mate. I've never been known for giving short teachings. And one thing you can do is you can get overwhelmed with all of this you can really, you know, we're having a banquet, literally. I like to say it, we're sitting at the Lord's table and we really are feasting on the Word and the Spirit of God, you know. And it can get to a stage where, you know, you just hopefully not get indigestion, you know. Like, you know what it's like when you've had a great feed? It's sort of like you sort of kick back and go, oh, man.
Now, this is a great teaching today. If you're just joining us, welcome aboard. Back to you, my friend.
Thanks, mate. All right. Just trying to find here where we left off. I got a bit distracted here. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, we saw that Galatians 1, verse 6, how, you know, Paul warns us about receiving a different gospel and another Jesus. And, you know, if you do receive another Jesus, you know, I'm not saying, look, one thing I've noticed in deliverance is people I've done deliverance on that have got another Jesus, you know, they're still, a lot of them are still saved. You know, they have the Holy Spirit. They've just been deceived. They've got the truth. They love Jesus. They've got the Holy Spirit there. They got, you know, obviously, demons there which are depriving them of their full salvation. And when I say that, because salvation is an ongoing process, you know, Paul said, not that I have already attained, but I press on towards the mark. Okay, so, you know, and God knows all of us. He knows each and every one of us. I mean, even myself, I look back at my life and I can see the way the Lord has delivered, brought me out of false teaching, you know, particularly here. I came from, got born again in New Zealand, came to Australia. And when I came to Australia, it was like, I was from New Zealand. There were some great deliverance churches there. But when I came to Australia, it was like, who turned the lights out? There was nothing. No churches were doing deliverance. And I was just, you know, I couldn't find it. And there was only one church that I found claimed to do deliverance, but they weren't, and they were a prosperity gospel church. But all they could do was talk about old times. So I was there for quite a while. I never saw one demon cast out. I mean, I'd be casting demons outside the church, but not in the church. You know, there was nothing happening. You know, but I know the Holy Spirit was there to a degree. I mean, maybe it was just me. I don't know. But, yeah, like I say, you can still have the Holy Spirit, still go to heaven and have these demons deceiving you. But all they're going to do is deprive you of your full blessing. You know, the word says some 30, some 60, some 100. You know, we want to be in the 100 category, amen? You know, and we don't want the enemy to deprive us, to deceive us, and to stop us from our full covenant blessing in Christ, which is the whole package. All right, now, okay, so we just, you know, this word sozo, we're just going to, I don't want to get too ahead of myself with the sozo teaching. We'll do that next time, but I just wanted to go to Isaiah, finish off with Isaiah 53, and I'm going to go to verse 6. I think it's Isaiah 53, verse 6. Yeah, it says, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. One thing I've learned through deliverance is a spirit of independence, okay? This independent spirit, and it's all rooted in rejection. People, and it comes down to trust. It's a trust issue. So, you know, people with these rejection spirits have created a false identity, all right? And with that, they can easily create another Jesus, all right? They follow a wrong Jesus because that spirit will lead them and guide them into it, okay? Because that spirit is very much affiliated with or can be affiliated with that Ahab spirit and false. It's a false identity, okay? So they get deceived by false teachers. So they attract themselves to false teachers, all right? It is witchcraft. It is witchcraft because the Holy Spirit's, you know, not able to turn them. If, you know, you have what you believe. So if you're strong in believing a certain thing, which is false doctrine, then you're going to get deceived. And this is where we've all got to be very careful of that. I mean, there's areas of teaching there that I could go into, which we will later on, which I can show you how there's areas of the gospel where people just don't want to believe, you know, because it doesn't suit the times, you know. And one thing, you know, with this modern culture we live in, Christianity is very much being sculptured by the media, you know, these mega churches and the sensuality of this suke styled Christianity, which is not Zoe, all right? It's very much bios and corrupted by the flesh. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And like I've said, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. It's very important we understand that because, you know, the first thing is, you know, obviously we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but then the word of our testimony is so important. And that what is our testimony? Our testimony is the full finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, and that encompasses the whole of salvation, which we will continue on and go through on another episode, okay? Amen?
Peter, great work today. What would you like to title this for the archive tonight?
There we go. Deliverance is the Children's Bread, Part 2.
Fantastic. Hey, how did you like this time? I did come in a few minutes late, but do you like 12 noon Gold Coast?
Yeah, that's good. So I'm pretty flexible.
Look at your schedule. Find me another date at this time. Let's do it.
I think 12 noon's fine. Gives me a bit of time in the morning to try and prepare myself.
Pick your dates.
It's just the days. The days. I'll give you a heads up on the days.
Perfect.
Get closer to the next one. All right.
Let's do it. And before we close, give out your contact information. How do people reach you or the ministry?
Just have to go to my website, which is deliveranceministry.com.au, and on Facebook, it's the Keys to the Kingdom on Facebook. And if you go to the website's got everything. It's deliveranceministry.com.au. You got everything on there. You got a lot of prayers, teaching. It's sort of been that website's been evolving for about 8 years now.
You do live meetings on Zoom or any other?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry.
Tell us about that.
Zoom meeting. Have a Zoom meeting on Friday nights, and that is Brisbane time at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. And I'll hang on a minute. I don't have to. Oh, Linda's got the. Linda, you got the number there?
3927 40301.
Okay, just repeat that.
3927 40301.
There we go. That was my help meet, Shannon.
Hey, very nice to meet you.
Hey,
Linda, she's amazing. Thank you, Jesus.
Peter, if you email or text that to me, I'll put it in the show notes. And Brisbane time, same time as Gold Coast, right? So that would be
Brisbane Eastern time, is it? Yeah, Eastern, was it Brisbane?
It's Australian Eastern Standard.
Oh, yeah, that's the right terminology. Sorry,
AEST.
AEST.
Okay,
yeah, so you know that.
Plus 14 hours ahead of East Coast time in America. And that again, what time on Friday?
It's actually 7:30 start, Brisbane.
Yeah, but say 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., because, normally it takes half an hour to people come in at 8. But that's really good, Shannon, those Zoom meetings. They go into like 2 and 3 in the morning, hey? They go for a long time, but try to. I mean, that's how people love, because the thing is with the Zoom meetings, in Zoom, they can participate as a church. It's not a theater. It's actually participation as the body of Christ. Amen.
Fantastic. I want to thank Kit for putting that in the chat room over there in MixLR. As always, an honor to be with you. Looking forward to part 3. And do you want to close us in prayer today?
Awesome, Shannon. I certainly will, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the anointing, Lord, because it is the anointing that guides and leads us in all truth, your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. We give him all the praise and the glory. And we thank you, Lord, for this message tonight, Lord. The glory is all yours, Lord. We don't take any of it. We thank you, Lord, that we can all be servants of the Lord as Jesus is our example, Lord, that we don't lord it over anyone, Lord, but as you came, you did not come to be served, but to serve, Lord. Let it be so with all of us in Jesus' name. Let us have that attitude in Jesus, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord, and we look forward to the next, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, Peter, Linda, everybody tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. We'll get up in the archives here in a bit. See you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, Shannon. Bless you, mate.
Bless you. Amen. Have a great day.
Bye.
Folks, that's going to conclude today's broadcast. We had an early bird show this morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That was Michael Cummins out of London, England. And let me just look at the schedule real quick for tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow, Thursday, the 25th of April, we're going to have Gary Stafford with a guest at 7 p.m. Eastern, Jesse Jernigan, Zoe Edward, Doug Perry, and the return of Terry L. Cook tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have a deliverance hotline Friday, and then, of course, Saturday night deliverance, 8 to 10 Eastern. Go to my website for more information, OmegaManRadio.com. If you want to support this work, you can do it there as well. Love you all. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.